Welcome to The Balanced Mind, a podcast dedicated to understanding emotion and achieving emotional maturity. We're diving deep into the roots of our feelings and ask a critical question. How can we manage emotion more effectively with greater wisdom? The goal is to help you grow in emotional intelligence, leading to a better quality of life and a more fulfilling relationships in every area of your life, from the workplace to your closest friendships. I'll provide you with a practical toolkit and insights to help you navigate life's challenges with greater emotional maturity and resilience. Hello, my name is Dion Bicycle, and as a supportive counselor, I'm dedicated to helping you achieve a better quality of life. Welcome to The Balanced Mind. Let's begin. So, have you ever looked at your future and felt, well, nothing? Not just a lack of plans or a genuine sense of no matter what you do, things won't get better. If you're nodding along, you're not alone. Today, we're going to dive into the word that carries a lot of weight but isn't always understood. We are looking at the word and emotion of hopelessness. In 2026, we're talking more than ever about mental health. Yet, this feeling remains one of the hardest to put into words. So let's break down what it actually is and, more importantly, how we can start to move through it. So let's start by getting a very clear idea of what we are dealing with. According to clinical consensus, hopelessness is a profound emotional state characterized by a lack of hope, feeling trapped, or belief that things will never improve. It often stems from overwhelming life events, trauma, depression, or chronic stress. It manifests as low motivation, withdrawal, and negative thought patterns. In the darkest form, it can lead to suicidal thoughts. But, and this is the most important thing we will have to say today, it is a temporary state. It's a temporary feeling. It is treatable by addressing the root causes with support and coping strategies. It feels like a permanent war, but it is actually a temporary fog, something that will lift. So, what is the definition of hopelessness? It is not just being sad. Psychologically, it's defined by three core walls that close in on us. The first are dismal expectations. This is the internal voice insisting that the future is uninherently negative. Secondly, it is the blocked goal directed processing. This is that frustrated feeling that the things you want most out of life, like peace, stable job, a healthy relationship, are permanently out of reach. Finally, we get to the hopelessness feeling itself. This is the belief that you lack the power or the skills to change any of it. And by any of it, we look what we just spoke about, the blocked goal, the directed processing, and the dismal expectations. You know, it's like being stuck in a room with no doors. And you've convinced yourself that you don't even have the strength to knock on the walls and try and find a way out. So why do we need to name this feeling? Because hopelessness is more than a mood. It's a clinical marker. In mental health, persistent hopelessness is the major symptom of depression and is closely linked to suicidal ideas. It is your brain taking one bad event and making it a permanent law of your own life. And it's not just in your head. Chronic hopelessness can actually impact your physical health, even increasing the risk of things like cardiovascular disease. It's a full body experience of shutting down to protect yourself from further disappointment. Which brings us to the next question. What causes us to get to a state of hopelessness? Hopelessness in life stems from the complex mix of situational, psychological, social, and biological factors. There's a few things in play here. It is often triggered by overwhelming life events and maintained by negative thinking patterns and a feeling of inability to change one's circumstance. Let's see at key causes and triggers. Significant negative life events can create hopelessness. When we experience major disruptions or losses, it can trigger feelings of hopelessness. Let's look at a few examples. Losing of a loved one. Or just not losing a loved one, but lost. Whether it's losing your loved one, you can lose your job, you can lose your house. Also, many people lose their life savings and then hopelessness kicks in and say, but there's no hope anymore. Also, when relationships break down. We often see this in divorce, where one partner feels like their life can't go on and they are helpless without their partner, which there is no more. Then, people also experience this emotion when they are physically, sexually, or emotionally abused, or they went through a trauma. We can also find this when we struggle financially, when we struggle with poverty, or any other chronic stress. Psychological and cognitive factors are specific thoughts and personal dispositions that significantly contribute to and can prolong a state of helplessness. You see, interpreting negative events as a personal or permanent and widespread, it's going to be global. For example, failing a test and thinking I'm a complete failure and will always be. Or, when you look at life events, people say, what is this world coming to? How will I ever have a future in this world? When you harvest these thoughts, it is easy to feel hopeless. But after repeated exposure to uncontrollable adverse events, a person may believe that they have no power in their situation, even when opportunities arise. And this is something we need to look out for. Even though we feel helpless, we must not forget that there can be opportunities, but we tend to miss them because we feel so hopeless. But we're going to talk about that a bit later on. There's also rumination. When we repeatedly focus on distress, its causes, and we also look at the consequence, it can intensify feelings of despair. You know, when you keep on sitting in your situation, but I don't have any money, I can't do anything, I'm just living day to day, when you in that rut of thinking the thoughts over and over again, it ultimately will, you will end up in hopelessness. And you'll also end up with a low self-esteem. And your self-criticism will be intensely high. Certain personality traits can increase vulnerability to develop hopelessness. So, for instance, if you're a person that is not confident in what you can do with your hands, with your work, and you're not confident in that, sometimes you can say, but I can't do anything. What do I know? You might have a degree in something, but if you don't have confidence, you can end up in hopelessness. Then there is also a social and environmental context where external factors can exacerbate feelings of hopelessness. When a lack of social support and feeling disconnect you from friends and family, and this can intensify negative feelings. Socioeconomic disadvantage is also something in our environment. We're living in a neighborhood with a high unemployment rate, or physical disorder can contribute to individual feeling of hopelessness. So when you're living in a township in South Africa, you might look around and you might say, well, my life is hopeless. I don't know how to get out of this house made out of tin, right? I will never have a proper house because all around me, everybody lives in this circumstance. No one has running water in the house. Then the person can become hopeless in this situation. But it's not true. Remember what we said in the beginning. Hopelessness passes by. It comes and it goes. It's not supposed to linger in your daily life. Okay, then we also get biological and health factors. You know, physical well-being is strongly linked to mental health. We know this. So when you have chronic illness or pain, a diagnosis of a serious long-term illness can directly contribute to the feelings of hopelessness. And right here, I want to say, yes, that is true. In my life, being diagnosed with an illness and disability it does make my circumstance seem helpless, but it is not. It is not. We also get brain chemistry and genetics, hormonal changes, neurotransmitters, and imbalances, and the family history of depression can increase the risk of experiencing helplessness. So we're just saying, yes, it can be physical things that can add on to your feeling of helplessness, but remember, it doesn't mean you are doomed. So how does hopelessness make us feel? Psychologists continue to highlight that hopelessness is a whole body experience. It manifests through a combination of heavy emotional states and distinct physical red flags that can often be noticed before a person even realizes they have these feelings. So let's look at the external experience of hopelessness is often described as a heavy fog or living in a black hole. Common sensations here include emotional numbness, a pervasive feeling of being empty or defeated, often replacing all other emotions like joy, anger, or even sadness. On this point, I just like to say, remember that you can go on to the site and listen to our podcast on these emotions, joy, anger, and sadness. So let's get back to hopelessness. Then we have impending doom. This is a relentless inner voice insisting that nothing will ever change and that the future is inherently bleak. So you're telling yourself, you know, there's no hope for you. This is very dangerous. And then we have a loss of urgency. We have a feeling that we feel trapped or stuck, as your actions have no power to improve your situation. Nothing you do will change the situation. I know many of us know that emotion quite well. And then we get social detachment. You know, a feeling to relate to others or withdraw from support and networks, which often intensifies the sense of isolation. Hopelessness triggers a psychological change by altering the brain's chemistry and increasing stress hormones like cortisol. So the key physical signs include psychomotor retardation. This is moving or speaking significantly slower than usual, as if we feel our body is physically heavy. It can also manifest in a lower point threshold, a lower pain threshold. It can be persistent, like headaches, backaches, muscle pains, that doesn't respond to any physical treatment. People also have digestive problems. Frequent stomach aches, cramps, nausea, or irregular bowel movements can be a sign which we need to look at. There's also sleep and appetite shifts. Dramatic changes such as sleeping too much, yet still feeling exhausted or a sudden significant weight gain or loss can also indicate that we feel hopeless. Then we also have sensory changes. This is in severe cases where people may experience visual disturbance or audible sensitivity. This is when people can't stand loud voices or sounds. So, but this, remember, is in severe cases of hopelessness. Remember, if you do have problems with your eyesight or your hearing or anything regarding your health, and you think that, okay, but Dion said I have a problem digesting, so Dion says no, but it's due to hopelessness. Remember, I'm not a doctor. I can only talk about these things you need to look out for. But remember, I'm not a doctor. If you have a problem, please go see your GP and sort it out with them. But why is this physical signs so important to realize? These physical symptoms are often the presenting symptoms for those who don't realize they are depressed or hopeless. Nearly 70% of people seeking help for depression initially report only a physical complaint. So if you do have that physical complaint, please go to your doctor. And after you went to your doctor, you can come to me and I can help you work on these factors in your life. Remember, I am a counselor and I can help you. When you went to a doctor and you have been diagnosed with something, then you can come to me and I can help you coping with it and help you lead to a better quality of life. So, let's talk a bit about, is hopelessness a sign of mental illness? Well, psychologists increasingly view hopelessness not as a disease itself, but as a sophisticated internal alarm system. Much like this physical pain tells you to move your hand off a hot stove, hopelessness is a signal that your current mental, emotional, situational environment is no longer suitable. Hopelessness is a check engine light, like that light on a car dashboard when you get into your car. So that is, hopelessness can light up that light, and then we need to pay attention to it. See, when hopelessness appears, it isn't necessarily a sign that you are broken. Well, no, you're not broken. Instead, it is a signal to pause and audit your mental health across three specific areas. The first one is the signal of depletion. The hopelessness light can come on when your resilience reservoir is empty. It signals that you have been operating under high stress or emotional labor for a long time without the adequate recovery time. Remember, the signal of misalignment, this is our second one. It can act as a red flag that your current life, your life path, whether it's your job, relationship, or just a set of personal goals, is fundamentally disconnected from your core values. The hopeless feeling is your mind. It's your mind's way of saying, you know what, I can't see a way forward because I don't want to go where the path is leading. Then we must also, we need to recognize these signals so that we can know what's going on in our lives. Many times we are so focused on our job and relationship that we ignore these signals. Then we have a signal that we call cognitive rigidity. Hopelessness signals that your brain has become stuck in a loop. It prompts you to look at whether you've lost your cognitive flexibility. This is the ability to see alternative solutions to your situation, or hearing or looking at different perspectives. Using this signal to audit mental health. Instead of feeling this emotion, you can use hopelessness as a diagnostic tool by asking, is this circumstantial? In other words, is the feeling tied to a specific unchangeable situation like a global crisis or loss? If so, the signal is telling you to seek support and community, not necessarily a clinical diagnosis. And then you can ask, is the signal internal? Is the feeling a heavy baseline that exists even when it's going well? This is a signal to check your biochemical imbalances or underlying clinical conditions. Also, it can help us, we can ask the question, is this rational? Am I feeling hopeless because I'm isolated? Or is this a signal that prompt me to prioritize human connections, which is the primary biological contribute to the despair? So these signals, can when you realize them, we can ask questions about our situation. We can ask, why am I hopeless? Why do I feel hopeless? Not why I am. Why do I feel hopeless? What is the issue here? And then we can start asking questions and see what is the root of our hopelessness. Now we're gonna focus on how can we support someone who feel hopeless. So let's shift the focus from we want to help people, and instead of waiting for happiness with them, let's start building on a cognitive toolkit that functions even when things are difficult. Hopelessness thrives on the idea that you have no power. Counter this by making one small, useless, in brackets, daily choices, like choosing a different route to work or picking up a specific tea. Try something new. Change your brain and the neurotransmitters to start building a new pathway by thinking differently, doing something new. These micro decisions remind your brain that you are still in control. Mental Health America suggests these small wins can physically recalibrate dopamine pathways. And this is what I told you about, where the thinking path in your brain, you can change that. And then there is the three horizon practice. Instead of looking at the far off hopeless future, focus on three horizons, namely the next hour. What is one thing I need to do in the next hour? From there, you can move on to the next day. What do I need to do tomorrow? So, then we get the next week. What is one thing I'm committed to by the end of the week, or what I need to achieve by the end of the week? Now, these three horizons idea might sound as if they won't work, but let me tell you, in my life, when I'm in a place of hopelessness and I don't know what's going on and I don't know what to do, and many times I feel overwhelmed, then I focus on what do I need to do next to get out of this situation. Your next can be the next hour, the next 2 hours. What do I need to do in this morning? What do I need to focus on? Just one thing. Don't focus on a number of things that need to be done. Focus on one thing. For me, I focus on one thing I need to do, and if I don't have any energy for it, I focus on getting it done. Because when we get things done in that way, we move ourselves forward from out of this feeling of hopelessness. And yes, so even if it costs you a few days, we just need to focus on the next thing you need to focus on, the next hour. It's fine. Do it like that. When you get through your day, you'll find that somewhere in your day, you come to a point where you can say, okay, what do I need to do tomorrow? And you'll find something. And then you work on doing it next day, what you need to do tomorrow. And from there, we can work on what we need to do to focus on in the next week. This takes time, but this is like steps that we can get out of this dark hole of blackness. We create steps where there is no steps. We're creating that steps to stand on and climb out of the situation. Then there is also information dieting. Well, this is when the excessive exposure to negative global news can create secondarily hopelessness. So when you continue looking at social media, post of what people say, when you look at what's going on around us, this is where we can say, okay, wait, in my environment there is too much information and I'm drowning in the information. Right here, you can limit the digital information you get in your environment. Limit your screen time. Limit your scrolling time. To get away from the feeling of hopelessness, curate your digital environment to include solution-based journalism or positive communities. If you want to continue going on social media, focus on good things that's happening, new ideas, creative ideas. Something that really helps me is when I look at social media where they have new cooking ideas, new recipes, something that I'd like to try out that that's short and easy to do. When we look at that, we grow because we're learning something new. A few episodes ago, we talked about happiness hubs from Vista Clinic, and one of the factors is learning something new. So when we learn something new, we grow. And this is what this information dieting helps us to do. If we shift our focus away from the social media, but focus it on media that builds and creates, that helps us to get out of the situation of hopelessness. Now, how can we support someone who is currently experiencing hopelessness? When someone is in the fog of hopelessness, they cannot often see the exit. Your job isn't to pull them out, very important, but it is to sit with them in the fog until it lifts. And while we sit in this fog, let's focus on a few things. Let's validate their personality, their existence, but let's not fix their problem. It's very easy for us to try and fix everybody's problems. It's not about that. It's about saying, I'm with you. I hear you. And then we also need to avoid toxic positivity. Like, just look on the bright side. No, many times people in December, I told a story to a friend and he did not listen to what I was saying. And he made it off as something we can laugh about. I did not appreciate that. So instead of saying, ah, it's not that bad, we're still going, you know, we're going strong. Don't say stuff like that. Please, rather try saying, I can see how heavy this feels for you right now. It makes sense that you feel overwhelmed given that you're going through all of this. And this is the reason why. Validation reduces the person's feelings of alienation, which is a core pillar of hopelessness. Validation, saying I hear you, very, very important. Then the use of externalization help them to see that hopelessness is a visitor, is not their identity. Very important. Again, hopelessness is a visitor. Remember we said it's a temporary emotion. It's not who they are. Try saying things like, it sounds like your hopelessness is speaking really loudly today. What is he telling you right now? This creates space between the person and the feeling. And then why you say it is so that the person can realize it's his feeling, it's not everything, it's not who I am right now. There's space between the feeling and the person. Many times when people feel hopeless, it's confusion. They accept that they are the feeling, but that's not true. There's a difference between the person and the feeling. And then we can offer low stakes presence. Okay, so let me give an example. Don't ask, what can I do for you today? No, you see, that adds another task to their overwhelming brain, because you're asking them, what can you do for them? But then it's like, I don't know yet. I don't know what you can do. No, don't say that. Instead, offer concrete presents. Like, you know what? I'm going to the grocery store today. I'm dropping off bread and milk on your porch. You can just pick up when you're ready. Or you can say, I'm going for a walk at 5 p.m. I'll swing by your house. No pressure. We can talk or you can come walk with me in silence. It's fine. Don't put any pressure on them to try and make them perform. It's something many people tried to with me as well. There were times when I couldn't walk. And then a lady would say, no, let's go for a walk. And she pressured me to go for a walk while I said I can't walk. But that pressure adds more stress. That adds to the feeling of hopelessness because I can't do what you asked me to do. You're making it worse. Rather tell me, I'm going for a walk. I hope to see you on a porch when I come back. This encourages you, the person, to move from the house to the porch to get fresh air. So encourage, but don't put pressure on them. Before we close off this podcast episode for tonight, it's important to remember that resilience isn't something you are born with. It's something you build through habits. If hopelessness is a signal that your reservoir is empty, resilience is the practice of refilling it. In 2026, we call this micro-solving. When the future feels too big and dark to handle, don't look at next year. Don't even look at next week. Rather ask yourself, what is the one tiny thing I can control in the next 10 minutes? Maybe it's drinking a glass of water. Step counting for 5 minutes. Or sending someone a text. These small wins prove to your brain that you are still in control. Now, what if you aren't the one feeling hopeless, but you are watching someone you love disappear into that fog? It's scary to witness, and our instinct is often to try and fix it with toxic positivity, telling them to look on the bright side. Things are not that bad. Keep your chin up. No, don't do that. Instead, try these three things. Acknowledge the signal. Say, I can see how heavy things feel for you right now, and I'm not going to try and talk you out of it. I'm just going to sit here with you. Simple act. Just sit and listen, or just be with them. Or you can offer specific agency. Instead of saying things like, let me know when you need anything, rather say, I'm going out for dinner. Would you like to come with? Or, I'm coming over to help you with your laundry. You can also hold the hope for them. When someone is in a state of hopelessness, they literally cannot see a positive future. You can say, I know you can't see a way out right now, so I'm going to hold the belief that things will change for you. until you're strong enough to hold it yourself again. So we've talked a lot about hopelessness on a general level. The void, the heavy fog, the sense of doom. But if you're struggling with specific triggers or find that hopelessness is constantly harming your relationships, a more personalized approach can be transformative. As a supportive counselor, I am dedicated to enhancing the total well-being of my clients through a system approach to counseling, helping you achieve wholeness in your body, mind, and spirit. My focus is on understanding the root causes of hopelessness and fostering a personal growth, not just managing the symptom of despair. We work together to help you navigate your well-being, addressing the physical or mental health components that contribute to your sense of a foreshortened future, so you can achieve a better quality of life and rediscover a path forward. I am committed to helping you facilitate self-care, enhance your overall well-being, and support your bio-spiritual wellness. We'll develop a plan together, and I will be there to train, to guide, and to monitor you so you can make lasting changes. Remember, my mission is to help you protect yourself from negative factors that fuel hopelessness, prevent the risk factors that lead to chronic despair, and educate you on how lifestyle choices impact your overall sense of hope by giving you practical coping skills and helping you rebuild a sense of urgency. We can promote a positive state of well-being and help you move out of hopelessness and into hope. If you want to contact me, please do so on the Dion Bicycle page on Facebook. You can also email me at dionlabu@gmail.com and in the subject line, The Balanced Mind. Or you can phone me directly on the number 062-940-1427. I just repeat, 062-940-1427 is the direct line. To conclude this episode, hopelessness is a loud, convincing signal, but it's not a prophet. It can tell you how you feel right now, but it cannot tell you how you will feel forever. If you're stuck in a situation of hopelessness, please reach out. Please know that there are suicide lines here in South Africa, like SADAG, that you can call if you find yourself in a crisis. Otherwise, you're most welcome to contact me and we can find a way out of this situation. Thank you for joining me today. If this episode helped you understand your own check engine light a little bit, please share it with one person who might need to hear that they aren't broken. They're just receiving a signal. But until next time, I am Dion Bicycle, and you're listening to The Balanced Mind. And remember, to keep your balance, you must keep moving. Until next week, cheers.